Well, welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church. I don't see anybody new. All old bees, not newbies. Except for me, of course. Well, let's open our service with a word of prayer.
I think he just called us old. What do you think? Oh, what a difference a week makes. We're back in here, and the weather's a little nicer this morning, and we're so thankful for Fred and the group to come here today and play for us. So let's bow our heads right now and give some thanks to God for all the things we enjoy. Hello, God. I call tonight to talk a little while. I need a little friend who'll listen to my anxiety and trial. You see, I can't quite make it through a day just on my own. I need your love to guide me so I'll never feel alone. I want to ask you, please, to keep my family safe and sound. Come and fill their lives with confidence for whatever fate they're bound. Give me faith, dear God, to face each hour throughout the day and not to worry over things that I can't change in any way. I thank you, God, for being home and listening to my call and for giving me such good advice when I stumble and fall. Your number, God, is the only one that answers every time. I never get a busy signal. I never pay a dime. So thank you, God, for listening to my troubles and my sorrow. And now, good night, God. I love you, too. Oh, and I'll call again tomorrow. P.S. Please bless all of my friends and all of our congregation here. Amen. Okay, I can tell you it's going to be a toe-tapping morning. If you don't start clapping and tapping and snapping, you're just not with it this morning. We are going to sing something that talks about our beautiful day that we have today when morning gilds the sky. So if you're able and would like to join us, please stand.
Jesus Christ be praised. Let all the earth around ring joyous with the sound. May Jesus Christ be praised. Yet here life is mine, my canticle divine. May Jesus Christ be praised. Be this the eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Amen. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are told that we are not alone, that you are with us. You are as close as a prayer, close as our heart. Yet why do you feel so far away, God? Teach us to pray. For those among us who have not prayed this week, forgive us for not turning to you, for prioritizing many things while missing what is essential. We have failed to find the comfort and the wisdom you offer. For those among us who wanted to pray but didn't know how to pray, please show us that we can long for you even when there are no words. For those among us who prayed but prayed selfishly or only for our own benefit, please enlarge our horizons to see your big picture, to see the needs of others and not just our own. For those among us who prayed but felt that you were not listening or did not answer the way we wanted, please give us patience and give us trust in your timing. For those among us who are not sure you are even there to pray to, may the prayers of our community lead us into your presence, drawing us into your love and deepest care. Amen.
We're going to do a new hymn, one that we haven't done before this morning, and one of the wags in our congregation pointed out to me that maybe we should look at the title of it, Come All Christians, Be Committed. Perhaps we need to be committed. But if you'll stand now, we're going to join and sing.
Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for Him more fitted. Tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness, each with sacred vows renewed. Turn away from sin and sadness. Be transformed with life anew. Of your time and talents give Him. They are gifts from God above, to be lived by Christians freely, to proclaim His wondrous love. Come again to serve the Savior. Tithes and offerings with you bring. Turn away with Him, find favor, and with joy His praises sing. Come in praise and adoration. Worship Him with consecration. Grace and love will you receive. For His grace give Him the glory, for the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story till the Lord's name has learned.
Okay, you may be seated.
The scripture today is from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
It's time once again for us to give a little bit back to God of our tithes and offerings. So if you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Be seated.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, that we are able to give a portion of what we have back to you for your work here in our community, in our city, in our state, and in our country. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now for the offertory, the Lima Street Band.
Everybody here, in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Thank you, gentlemen. I see we have one that was voice only today because of an injury, right? Yes.
All that.
Right.
I wish.
And we have a special guest here today, Fred and Jeannie Welsh's grandson. Hi there.
Yeah, Turner.
His name is Turner.
We, in the last few weeks, have been talking about God's plan for us in our sermon series, and chapters 9 to 11 of the book of Romans dealt really with Paul's attempt to reach the Jews, salvation in the Jew. But now Paul turns to the main idea of this letter. He's been talking about considerable amount of time on how we are saved, what we're saved from, and what salvation does for us, how it changes us. In this last section of the book of Romans, Paul goes to some very practical matters. He will discuss many aspects of everyday living in this world. And I am personally thankful that I have a home for me in heaven. This is a personal declaration. I'm glad that I will have a perfect mansion someplace in heaven. Depending upon how good or bad I am, I guess there are various mansions, hopefully, and I'll get a little place in heaven. But any place in heaven is better than none, isn't it? And I'm so happy that my existence here on earth is really just a short time. It really is just a short time compared to the fact that God said, I have had you in my mind from the beginning of time. God has had you, every one of you, in his mind from the beginning of time. And the prospect of death does not haunt me. I'm happy here today. Tomorrow, that's a different story. This prospect of life in the heavens with God lifts me up daily, and I hope you feel wonderful. It's the best high you can have, a wonderful feeling. Well, right now, we are all attempting to deal with the present stage of our being, the daily walk. I'm like a pilgrim and a stranger on foreign soil, because the earth is not God's habitat. Heaven is. Heaven is a blessing, but I need practical health, and we all need practical health every day to walk with God. Well, these first two verses of chapter 12 give us some insight into our area of walk with God that we must never overlook, and it tells us the secret of holy living. He tells us that we are to achieve his goals for his life. There are three powerful concerns in living a holy life. Okay, let's get this clear. Living holy living does not mean that you are to become a monk in a cave or a nun in a convent. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Just about everybody in the Bible who was called holy was very imperfect. Look at the people that were called holy. Abraham, Noah, David, Paul, all were very very, very human beings with lots of faults. Well, let's find out the secret of holy living. Well, let's see what it means. First of all, in verse 1, Paul tells us that yielding our bodies to God is a reasonable service. It comes from the word in the Greek, logos, which means logic. That's logical. It's logical to yield our bodies to God as a reasonable service. It makes sense. And the word service in the Greek means to perform a sacred service. It's part of worship, what we do today. We worship. We worship with the Relima Street Band. We worship with hymns. We worship with scripture and prayer. The logical service of worship before the Lord. In other words, we are totally yielded to him in our worship, the highest form that we can render. Nothing says more about I love you to God than the consecrated daily holy life. Well, the challenge. We're called upon to present our bodies. We're to present our bodies to God. And all of this earthly mass comes from the toes to the head. That's our body. We are dedicated to him. The word present means to place at one's disposal. We're supposed to say, here, God, here's my body. Use me. Send me. Lift me up. Just this little thing we shouldn't set aside. We shouldn't say that there's just one part of my life that maybe God doesn't care about. I'll just set this aside. But that's not That's not what we should do. Are there little things in your life that you're holding back from God, saying, this is not part of my God life, so therefore it's going to be part of the earth, part of this world, and I'm going to separate it from God. God wants it all, however. He wants all of you. What we have given him is his forever. Every part of us, every imperfection, every perfection is his. First we have the challenge, and then we have the cause. And the phrase, therefore, by the mercies of God, he's talking about the pure grace of God, that we are redeemed by God, that we are his child. He can control our life because he has redeemed us and given us Jesus Christ on Calvary to save us from our sins so that we don't have to live a life that is perfect, that we just try and that we believe in him as our Savior. We are servants, and even more strongly, we are doing his will. Now, last Sunday was Mother's Day. About half of you were here. It was snowing. It was not a very good day. But on that Sunday, I dedicated something to my mother. Now, this stole that I was frantically trying to find was embroidered by my mother in silk 55 years ago. And this is a stole that is worn by clergymen in the Catholic Church, Episcopal Church, Methodist Church, Lutheran churches, as they lead worship services. It's not supposed to signify something elegant or ostentatious. It is a yoke of servitude. It's a yoke that we are servants of God, and that is representative for all of us because we are part of the priesthood of all believers. So this was my dedication to my mother last week, and I'm just glad to bring this up again because it is so important that we recognize the fact that we are servants of God, and that is the way we should live our life. He loved us. He died to save us. He convicted us. He called us. He gave us faith to believe, and he saved us by his grace. It seems to me because of that we should owe God everything, our body and also our mind. May we, like Paul, ever be aware of the fact that it says in Corinthians 15, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yes, Lord, here I am. We should say to him, yes, Lord, here I am, and use me in all we can. We are told that these bodies are to be presented a living sacrifice. That sounds painful, a living sacrifice. How can we be a living sacrifice? In Bible times, an animal, an unblemished animal was presented on the altar to be burned and sacrificed to God. His blood and his flesh were burned on the altar. And it doesn't sound like something I want to get involved in, because that would be very painful to have to sacrifice ourselves in that way. Their sacrifice in the Old Testament was to die. Our sacrifice is to live. What a great change. Our sacrifice is to live for the Lord with your body, soul, and mind. Now, just as then, the sacrifice that we have is not easy. It's costly, it's painful, it's difficult, it's personal, and it's necessary. Our sacrifice must continue to work in this world, to use our sacrifice to uphold this world, to make it a better place. We think of the Egyptian Christians who were beheaded by a radical ISIS group, and they proclaimed Jesus as their Savior just before they were beheaded. Now that is total commitment. How much further can you go than these Coptic Christians in Egypt? Said, I don't care if I'm going to die, because that is more important than to deny him in my life. Well, there are four ideas that we have right now. A living sacrifice, that means we are to be on his altar wherever we are. Don't think because you go someplace else that God doesn't see you. God sees you everywhere and whatever you're doing. Regardless of what your geographical surroundings are, God is with you all the time, all the time. There's never an instant in life when we're out of his view or to live as free as we please. A living sacrifice means a constant, continuous sacrifice. It's not something we do from time to time, that we put God in a little box and take him out when it's convenient. For example, your offerings or your tithe this morning, if it's not a sacrifice, if it doesn't mean something to you in your budget, it's just a token. It's something you set aside, okay, and we'll take a little bit and give it to God this week. How much do you value the ministry of this church? It doesn't survive on attaboys and a pat on the back, and that was nice service today. A living sacrifice means that the body sacrifices its own desires for those of God. We don't live for the world, we live for God, and we just have to live that way. And people will see that. People will see that. The bottom line is that all of us sacrificing our body implies every action and activity that we engage in is important. We are His servants. We are full of awe in our sacrifice to God, and people should see that in the way we live. People should see, wow, that person, he is awful, or she is awful in the way she lives. She's full of awe. Set us apart. You know, one person in the church who is really full of the Spirit of God and lives a holy life can make a big difference of 1,000 people. Look in our church. We have close to 100 dedicated seniors that give their all because there are no young people to do the job, right? And you all just really step in and do a fantastic job for our church. I think it's evident here at HEB, and I think people see that constantly in what we do in this community. It's an acceptable sacrifice. It's well-pleasing and satisfying to God. We put our life on the altar of God and say, here I am. I am a blemished sacrifice, but I am yours. I am yours. God loves the blemishes and faults of us all. He loves and forgives all. He loves the warts and the wrinkles and the faults of all kind. Not that we have any, but, you know, God loves them all anyway. I've often said that this is a repair shop for damaged bodies and souls. He proves His power. He shows His glory. He's touched by His power in the way we live our life. The sad truth of the matter is we are either pleasing God or dishonoring Him by the way we use our life and our bodies. We are either pleasing Him or displeasing Him. What do you want to do? It's up to you in the way you live. Well, now in our scripture, Paul moves from the body to the mind. Here's the root of the problems. We can get our mind to think as we should. The body will follow, of course. Whatever the mind does, the body wants to do. He says we are not to be conformed to this world. We're not to be shaped by the world. We're supposed to shape the world itself. We are supposed to set the mold up and not let the world squeeze us into that form. We're not allowed the world to make it like it is. You see, the world, those who are controlled by the world are vastly different from us because we have a different agenda. We really do. We must be different and remain different. He says we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Take a different look at the way you're living. Look at a caterpillar. A caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. What happens when the caterpillar enters the cocoon and later emerges? It's just part of God's glory and that change. And that's what can happen to people on this earth. There are people here in our community that can be changed from caterpillars to butterflies that demonstrate the glory and beauty of God. You see, He moved into our hearts when He saved us. He transformed us when He changed us into His child. We must remember that the flesh does what the mind tells it to do. It's only when the mind is changed and the power of God is brought into our bodies that it makes us different. But how is this accomplished? It's accomplished by doing the will of God, by filling the mind with the Word of God and to think, ordering our life and the teachings and commands from the God, to cut ourselves off from the influences of this world to make us a new and different being. Paul moves on to tell us that accomplishing these two things will enable us to carry our God's will for others. That's so important because you are really apostles and evangelists for the world, every single one of you. Because of what we do, what we might do here at the altar and at the pulpit is multiplied 100 times by each one of you. What a great return on investment that is. So living the secret of a holy life boils down to have God's having control of our mind, our spirit, and our body. Does it describe the life that you're living this morning? Have you put your whole body on the altar of God? Is God in absolute control of your life? That's so important. Because if he is, what a difference. Is your mind being renewed by the transforming power of God so that your mind becomes part of God? You see, the change begins inside your heart. It starts inside and it works outward from your heart. It transforms everything that you do. Have you discovered and surrendered the will of God for your life? Look at that. Think about your life and think about what you want to do. I want to live a holy life. I want to live better every day. What about you? Will you surrender all to him? Will you get serious about serving the Lord and doing your life's work on Sunday mornings, on Monday through Saturday, doing God's work in your life? Will you allow the Lord to transform your life into an awesome thing? And of course, people will say, look at him, look at her. What a change, what a person. Let us obey him today. Let us obey him today, tomorrow, and every day in the rest of our life.
And now we will sing a hymn in preparation of communion. So if you will stand with me, we will sing At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond debris. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, then the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
You may be seated.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." After they finished eating, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Thank you.
this bread, drink this cup. Come to him and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup. Come to him and you will not thirst. Christ, bread of life, those who come to you will not hunger. Jesus Christ, risen Lord, those who come to you will not thirst. Bread, drink this cup, come to him and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup, trust in him and you will not thirst. Jesus Christ, risen Lord, those who trust in you will not thirst.
Remember now, they're going to stay after and play, so you can come up here and sing and clap your hands and stomp your feet and do whatever. I think we really have enjoyed you guys, so thank you so much. And we're going to sing kind of a rousing song today as our final hymn. We're going to sing soon and very soon just to get you in the mood. So please stand if you can, and we'll sing that.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Crying there, we are going.
at clapping, but we're good at singing. That's great. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I love to see more people crossing themselves. We have a sub-congregation there.
Number seven.
Thank you.